Of Hector's deeds did Homer sing, and of the sack of stately Troy, what grief fair Helen did them bring, which was Sir Paris' only joy. And with my pen I must recite St. George's deeds, an English knight. Against the Saracens full rude, fought he full long and many a day, where many a giant he subdued in honor of the Christian way. And after many adventures past, to Egypt land he came at last. And as the story plain doth tell, within that country there did rest a dreadful dragon, fierce and fell, whereby they were full sore oppressed, who by his poisoned breath each day did many of the city slay. The grief thereof did grow so great throughout the limits of the land, that they their wise men did entreat to show their cunning out of hand, which way they might this dragon destroy that did their country sore annoy. The wise men all before the king framed this matter incontinent, the dragon unto death might bring by any means they could invent. His skin more hard than brass was found that sword or spear could pierce or wound. When this the people understood, they cried out most piteously, the dragon's breath infected their blood, that they each day in heaps did die. Amongst them such a plague it bred, the living scarce could bury the dead. No means there was that they could find for to appease the dragon's rage, but by a virgin pure and kind, whereby he might his fury assuage. Each day he should a maiden eat for to allay his hunger great. This thing by art the wise men found, which truly must observed be, wherefore throughout the city round a virgin pure of good degree was by the king's commission still took up to serve the dragon's will. Thus did the dragon every day a maiden of the town devour, till all the maids were worn away and none were left that present hour, saving the king's fair daughter bright, her father's joy and heart's delight. Then came the officers to the king this heavy message to declare, which did his heart with sorrow sting. She is, quoth he, my kingdom's heir. Oh, let us all be poisoned here ere she should die, that is my dear. Then rose the people presently, and to the king in rage they went, who said his daughter dear should die, the dragon's fury to prevent. Our daughters all are dead, quoth they, and have been made the dragon's prey. And by their blood thou hast been blessed, and thou hast saved thy life thereby. And now in justice it doth rest for us, thy daughter so should die. Oh, save my daughter, said the king, and let me feel the dragon's sting. Then fell fair Sabrine on her knee, and to her father thus did say, O father, strive not thus for me, but let me be the dragon's prey. It may be for my sake alone this plague upon the land was shown. 'Tis better I should die, she said, than all your subjects perish quite. Perhaps the dragon here was laid for my offense to work his spite. And after he hath sucked my gore, your land shall feel the grief no more. What hast thou done, my daughter dear, for to deserve this heavy scourge? It is my fault, it shall appear, which makes the gods our state to grudge. Then ought I die to stint the strife and to preserve thy happy life. Like madmen all the people cried, thy death to us can do no good. Our safety only doth abide to make thy daughter dragon's food. Lo, here I am. Oh, then, quoth she, therefore do what you will with me. Nay, stay, dear daughter, quoth the queen, and as thou art a virgin bright, that hath for virtue famous been, so let me clothe thee all in white. And crown thy head with flowers sweet, an ornament for virgins meet. And when she was attired so, according to her mother's mind, unto the stake then she did go, to which they did this virgin bind. And being bound to stake and thrall, she bade farewell unto them all. Farewell, dear father, then quoth she, and my sweet mother, meek and mild, take you no thought nor care for me, for you may have another child. Here for my country's good I'll die, which I receive most willingly. The king and queen, with all their train, with weeping eyes then went their way, and let their daughter there remain to be the hungry dragon's prey. But as she there did weeping lie, behold, St. George came riding by. Now like unto a valiant knight, straight unto her did take his way, and being amazed at this sight, he then to her these words did say, let me, sweet maiden, then, quoth he, what person thus abused thee? And lo, by Christ his cross I vow, which here is figured on my breast. I will revenge it on his brow and break my lance upon his crest. And speaking thus, whereas he stood, the dragon issued out of the wood. The lady that did first espy the dreadful dragon coming so, unto St. George aloud did cry, and willed him away to go. "Here comes that cursed fiend," quoth she, "that soon will make an end of me." St. George then, looking round about, the fiery dragon soon espied, and like a knight of courage stout, against him he did fiercely ride, and with such blows he did him greet, that he fell under his horse feet. For with a lance that was so strong, as he came gaping in his face, in at his mouth he thrust it along, the which could pierce no other place. And there within the lady's view, this dreadful dragon then he slew. The savor of his poisoned breath could do this Christian knight no harm. Thus did he save the lady from death, and home he led her by the arm, which when Ptolemy did see, there was great joy and melody. When as the famous knight St. George had slain the dragon in the field, and brought the lady to the court, whose sight with joy their hearts then filled, he in the Egyptian court then stayed, till he most falsely was betrayed. The lady Sabrine loved him well, he counted her his only joy, but when their love was open known, it proved St. George's great annoy. The Morocco king was in the court, who to the orchard did resort, daily to take the pleasant air, for pleasure's sake he used to walk, under a wall where, as he heard St. George with Lady Sabrine talk, their loves he revealed to the king, which to St. George great woe did bring. These kings together did devise to make this Christian knight away. With letters him ambassador they straightway sent to Persia, and wrote to the Sophy him to kill, and treacherously his blood to spill. Thus they for good did him reward, with evil and most subtly, by such vile means they did devise to work his death most cruelly, while he in Persia abode, his strait destroyed each idol god, which being done he straight was cast into a dungeon dark and deep. But when he thought upon his wrong, he bitterly did wail and weep. Yet, like a knight of courage stout, forth of the dungeon he got out. And in the night, three horse keepers this valiant knight by power slew. although he fasted many a day, and then away from thence he flew on the best steed that Sophie had, which when he knew he was full sad. Then into Christendom he came, and met a giant by the way. With him in combat he did fight most valiantly a summer's day, who, yet for all his spats of steel, was forced the sting of death to feel. From Christendom that valiant knight then with warlike soldiers passed, vowing upon that heathen land to work revenge, which at the last, ere thrice 3 years were gone and spent, he did unto his great content. Save only Egypt land he spared, for Sabrine bright her only sake, and ere his rage he did surpass, he meant a trial kind to make. Ptolemy did know his strength in field, and unto him did kindly yield. Then he the Morocco king did kill, and took fair Sabrine to his wife, and afterwards contentedly with her St. George did lead his life, who by the virtue of a chain did still a virgin pure remain. To England then St. George did bring this gallant lady Sabrine bright, an eunuch also came with them, in whom the lady did delight. None but these three from Egypt came. Now let me print St. George's fame. When they were in the forest great, the lady did desire to rest, and then St. George to kill a deer to feed thereon did think it best, left Sabrine and the eunuch there when he did go and kill a deer. The meantime in his absence came two hungry lions fierce and fell, and tore the eunuch presently in pieces small, the truth to tell. Down by the lady then they laid, whereby it seemed she was a maid. But when St. George from hunting came, and did behold this heavy chance, yet for his lovely virgin pure, his courage stout, he did advance, and came within the lion's sight, who run at him with all their might. But he being not a bit dismayed, but like a stout and valiant knight, did kill the hungry lions both within the lady Sabrine's sight. But all this while sad and demure, she stood there like a virgin pure. Then when St. George did truly know his lady was a virgin true, those doleful thoughts that e'er was dumb began most firmly to renew. He set her on a palfrey steed, and toward England he came with speed. Where he arrived in short space, unto his father's dwelling place, where with his dearest love he lived, when fortune did their nuptials grace. They many years of joy did see, and led their lives at Coventry.